Today on The Jump, after a grueling 24 hours, we have basketball back, people. Who's your money on in the play-in? And are the Lakers vulnerable, or is their matchup with the Dubs good for some repairs? I would go to that auto body shop, I'm just saying. Stop and tell us who your pick is for Defensive Player of the Year. Can Bam, Ben, Drew supplant Rudy? We'll find out. And break out the bubbly, people, because Chris Bosh is joining us. Just maybe don't bathe in it, because you know how that can be. The Jump starts now.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Dell.
Oh, it's one of those days. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm joined in person, finally, by our 2008 NBA champ, Kendrick Perkins, and on the line, two-time champ, 11-time All-Star, and now newly elected Hall of Famer, Chris Bosh, joins us remotely. Chris, we just want to give you your flowers here. You got the call over the weekend. You are officially an inductee. What was the moment like?
You know, I wish I had a more exciting story. I was just going, going through the motion of the day, making sure the kids are paying attention in class and, you know, pretty much trying to do everything I can to ensure that this book rolls out properly. So I was so focused on that. And then to get the call, I kind of had to snap out of how surreal it was. But I mean, it's been just amazing. I just started out as a young kid, just trying to make some friends and do what I love. And now I get the chance to go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's still really hitting me. It's just an unbelievable honor. I just aspire to be like my heroes and to be able to see them and go in with them as peers. I mean, it's an amazing feeling.
Perk, I know that you go so far back with this guy. What is it like to see from where y'all started in high school? Now, Chris Bosh is a Hall of Famer, Perk.
You know what, Rachel? Me and Chris, we used to battle it out in high school, still set hold the record for the biggest crowd ever in the high school in the state of Texas.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, but I'm so happy for Chris. I always knew he was going to be a hell of an NBA player. I followed him in Georgia Tech, although I was in the league already. His career with the Raptors and then on to Miami. I thought he was one of the most underrated guys in the league. Never talked about enough. Part of that Heat culture winning championships. But most importantly, I'm so proud of Chris, of the man he's become outside of basketball, right? His inspiration in the community, what he's doing in the community, and him being a family man. Yeah. You know, I see him heavily involved with his kids and everything, and from a fellow Texas boy to another Texas boy, I want to say congratulations, CB. I'm so happy for you. But listen, Rachel. I'm so happy for Chris, but I'm happy to be back on the Jump.
Oh, thank you.
And I got something. Yes, I got something to say, okay?
Okay.
My wife Vanity told me that I need to tell you she loves what you've been doing with your hair. That's the first thing, okay? I want to say that first.
Thank you.
Second of all, I want to say it's a big difference, right, when I'm back in studio.
It makes huge.
Okay, because when I'm doing it virtual, the camera's up close. And it's not back the way, and some people may say I kind of look like Forrest Whitaker. But now that I'm back in studio, and the lights are hitting me right now, some may say I look like a 6'10", 350-pound version of Maurice Chestnut.
Some people may say. We haven't found those people, but we might find them later with a magnifying glass. All right. I could not be more thrilled. Chris, you're next. We're going to get you out back out here to L.A. sometime soon. But for now, we got to dive in because tomorrow we have just one of the hugest not playoff games ever, right? A play-in game between the Warriors and Lakers right here on ESPN. So, Chris, with the Lakers battling through injury just now having their full roster available, do you think they are vulnerable against the Warriors in the play-in?
Well, I mean, you have to agree they're as vulnerable as they have been for the past couple of seasons. I mean, you know, with LeBron, of course, having that high ankle sprain, dealing with that, they took the precautions and held him out for an extra six games. And then he tweaks it again over the weekend. You know, you do have to have some concern about that. With Dennis Schroeder being out for the last two, 3 weeks, AD kind of having those nagging injuries, on top of that, they haven't been able to really gel as a team quite yet, but they still have some sort of continuity. They still are the defending champions, so they're going to have some spirit about figuring everything out on the fly. And they're playing a very dangerous Warriors team. I mean, anytime I'm playing Steph Curry, the minute he gets out the car, you got to start guarding him.
Right,
you know,
right.
He can hit it from anywhere.
And look, I said that I would never go against the light-skinned brother from the Bay with the green eyes. But guess what? I would never go against the GOAT LeBron James. I tell you that much. All right. And I think that the Lakers will win tomorrow. And I think they will win in great fashion. And here's why. That Rockets game, when they set LeBron James and Anthony Davis out, the role players were able to get their confidence back. I thought that was a brilliant move by the front office and the coaching staff. Now you're seeing Caldwell Pope, Talen Horton-Tucker, all these guys are starting to play with that confidence. And then on the flip side of things, the Lakers are the number one team defensively in the NBA. And with that being said, they hang their hats on the defensive end. So they have multiple bodies to throw out there alongside. They have the best duo in the game in LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I just think they're going to dominate the paint.
Well, look, I mean, whoever wins this then goes on to play the number two seed. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's good for the Lakers if they're the ones who come out of this? If your prediction is correct, they will have gotten kind of an extra game with the guys back in the lineup who have been spotty and missing over the last month or two before they go in and face what will be a very tough matchup against Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the Phoenix Suns.
I do. I think that they need to get this seventh spot. And there's no disrespect to the Phoenix Suns, Rachel, because, you know, I've been high on them since the beginning of the season, but, you know, Chris Paul, you know, in the MVP conversation, Monty Williams, Coach of the Year conversation, James Jones, Forrest GM conversation, but guess what? Mm. Lakers in five.
Oh. Chris, would you like to follow that up?
Why are you I think we can all agree, the Lakers, whoever they see in the first round, they're going to have supreme confidence that they could be successful. They know that they need to be healthy. And when they're healthy, they're the champions of the league. I think one of the things that'll be very important for them, kind of like Perk said, hang your hat on defense. Best defensive team in the league. You're going to play one of the best offensive players ever in the game tomorrow. So, you know, I think that's going to give them a little bit of a rhythm and sort of an advantage. And I'm going to agree with Perk again, how he was saying that last week, that last week's win against the Rockets was good to boost the mentality of the bench. You needed to see that. I think the coaches did a great job in holding the big two out to make sure that they build some kind of continuity, because you're going to have that full team attack to be able to be successful in the playoffs. And with them having another game under their belt, you know how it is when you have a couple of weeks off or a week off and your opponent has played a game more recent than you, you're going to have a little more rhythm. You're going to be in a little bit better shape. So, you know, I think that will be an advantage for the Lakers. I think they will figure it out. Bron will have to tend to his ankle, but I think he'll be more of a facilitator. You'll see him more in the post drawing double teams and him kicking it out to his teammates to make plays. But, you know, they've been in tough situations before. And I don't think there's any situation that makes them nervous coming into this playoff series.
Well, look, Chris, you have been on the court as a teammate with LeBron, I want to say roughly two dozen times when he rolled or sprained that ankle and just sort of bionically came back. I mean, that was kind of one of the things he was known for injury-wise, that he had these bionic ankles. And then yet, of course, that high ankle sprain is a whole different scenario and has really seemed to thrown him. He's tweaked it a few times, and we'll have to see what happens when they play tomorrow night. But let's get to tonight, because the Pacers are hosting the Hornets in a single elimination play-in game. So whoever loses goes home. The Hornets have announced Gordon Hayward definitely out. He hasn't played a game since suffering that right foot sprain in early April. And on the Pacers side, Caris LeVert is out for the due to the health and safety protocols. So Chris, who do you think is the bigger absence, is going to be more of a detriment to their team that they're out? Either Hayward with the Hornets or LeVert with the Pacers?
I'm going to go with Caris LeVert on that one. You know, just like you were saying, Hayward's been out for the last few games dealing with his injury. They've already built a chemistry and continuity without him. They've had some good wins, and they have very explosive players that could get the job done. And especially with the talent like Ball at the point guard distributing to his teammates, they can play loose and get out and run and really get it going. LeVert, that poses a huge challenge for the already banged up Pacers. You've seen how them and the coaching staff have been having problems getting together, being on the court, doing all those little things that add up to wins. I think if you look at how each team is trending right now, I'd have to go with the Hornets just because they're going to come in more loose. They're not dealing with as much, as many injuries as the Pacers are.
Right.
And, you know, they don't have one of their leading scorers just out of the lineup. And, you know, they're not in a position where they have to figure things out. They just have to keep playing the game that they've been playing over the last few weeks.
You know what? I'm right there with you. When you look at Caris LeVert and think about what he did last year in the bubble towards the end of the season, I think he had a 40-piece wing dinner, spicy, right? And when you look at the roster, Sabonis he's one of the best bigs in the league, but he's banged up, right? So when you look at Caris LeVert, to me, he's the only guy, because T.J. Warren is out, and he's the only guy that could create for himself and go out there and get buckets. So I'm going to give the edge to the Hornets because of one guy and one guy in particular, and that's Scary Terry, Terry Rozier. We have to remember, when Terry Rozier was in with the Celtics and Kyrie Irving went out, Terry Rozier elevated his game on the biggest stage and helped that Boston Celtics team get to Eastern Conference Finals. So he's been here before, along with LaMelo Ball, Mikal Bridges, P.J. Washington, and Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller doesn't get a lot of credit, but he does the winning things that Hornets team needs. So LeVert being out is detrimental to the Pacers, and I give the Hornets the edge tonight to win the game.
I am curious with this situation with LeVert, with it coming at, frankly, the absolute worst time for the Pacers. Now, I want to make clear, I don't know what is going on with Caris LeVert's medical situation, including, because we know he had the kidney issue earlier this year, whether his doctors have told him, hey, you shouldn't get vaccinated right now, you should wait. So I am, again, not talking about Caris LeVert specifically, but I do wonder whether seeing a player on the roster of a playoff team, or in this case, a play-in team, be just suddenly plucked out because of COVID will make some of the other players around the league who haven't gotten vaccinated and are healthy enough to do so think twice about whether there is going to be pressure from their teammates to get vaccinated so this situation doesn't happen to them during the playoffs. And frankly, it's a new situation because we haven't dealt with COVID in this way before. But the history of athletics is littered with players who felt pressure from teammates or just their own internal pressure to maybe play injured or do something that they felt might not be great for their long-term health because short-term they want to win that championship. I am curious how this is going to go through the rest of the NBA season. But again, not specific to Caris LeVert because he has his own whole situation, and we just wish him the best. Absolutely. All right, coming up, the Nets big three trying to hone their chemistry in a short amount of time. How can the Nets three stars make it work? Well, Chris Bosch has been part of a group of three stars who made it work, so he's going to tell us about that. Chris Bosch, the undisputed champion of the video bomb. So as we go into playoff season, Chris, educate the youth. What goes into a good video bomb? Teach us your ways.
Staying in the moment. That's what it's about. I would always do those things. Just trying to make people laugh after the game. I was so happy to play winning basketball. My imagination got going. The little kid in me just went crazy. So that's what's most important. You gotta put your heart into it and just stay in the moment.
It's the creativity. Too many guys just splash water. You need the creativity, the Chris Bosch creativeness. Remember in the last segment when Kendrick Perkins called Chris Bosch underrated? It is very hard to be an 11-time All-Star and still underrated, but I think that you were, and so did the Hall of Fame. Welcome back to The Jump. We have, in fact, convinced the 2021 Hall of Fame inductee to stick around a little longer. Probably, you know, because of that cool video. It was pretty good.
Absolutely. Rachel, I just, cool. CP, look, CB, listen. When you was pouring the champagne right there, you was missing your whole mouth. It looked like it was going in your eyes. You was that turned up.
You want to know one of the funniest things? Man, the champagne burns, man. It was burning my face. I didn't know what to do. It was like, I had this whole vision in my head, and I had to rebound on the fly, man.
But I will tell you this, Chris, because you won your two titles in the same place. I have been in many championship locker room celebrations. They had more champagne available in the Miami locker room than any other baseball, Super Bowl, basketball locker room I have ever been in, and that was true in 2006 and in your two titles. And so the air just became so thick with champagne. It was like champagne humidity. So I don't blame you at all for missing the eye, is all I am saying. I do want to ask awesome. You a little bit about the comparisons we've heard all season between the Brooklyn Nets Big Three and, of course, your Miami Heat Big Three. So I want to get your take on it. Do you think there are similarities, or do you think it's just a completely different group?
Well, I mean, you know, it is a completely different group. You can say there are similarities as far as, the star power and the mix of talent. Of course, all of those guys handle the ball. So one of the things, in my opinion, that I felt that we had an advantage over was I could get out the way and let those ball dominant guys be themselves. One of the things they're going to have to figure out is how to distribute the ball equally, how to move it around. And, you know, it's great having Kyrie. It's great having James Harden and KD be able to get you a bucket at any point in time. But the other aspects of the game, the defensive continuity, moving the ball on offense, on the offensive end, playing together, you know, those, when you have to get in those third and fourth and fifth situations to be able to score against a good defense, I think that's where they're going to have their challenges. And, you know, how many games have they played together? Every time I watched TV wanting to see the Big Three play in Jersey, I never saw them.
Seven and a half?
So
it's technically eight, but it's really seven and a half. Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a full 82-game season, which this season has been shortened, but it takes a full season to build up that chemistry and continuity within a team to be able to be successful. But with all that talent, I think they'll be able to be in every game. And if any team can figure it out on the fly in the history of the NBA, I think it would be this team.
You know what? I agree with you. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets and their offensive firepower on the perimeter, we're talking about three of the most skilled guys to ever touch the basketball. But here's the separation to me. When I look at that Miami Heat team, right, you dove into it. When you talk about y'all defense, I remember playing against you guys, and y'all were tied on the string, rotating, like, the help was helping the helper. Guys were in their spots. If y'all were trapping a pick and roll, the next guy was already rotating and trusting the other to sink and feel. And then also, when you look at it, Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, I used to come out and watch pregame, and they used to work about 15 to 30 minutes on the block with Coach Fizdale. They didn't play a lot on the perimeter, what people don't realize. A lot of times they were taking guys to that block area and going down to work on that block area and punishing those smaller forwards and smaller guards. So that's the difference I see between the Heat Big Three and the Nets Big Three.
It's interesting, though, right? Because you guys talk about defense. You're absolutely right. But the same way when you both were playing, you heard all the old heads saying, it's not like the 90s. It's not like the 90s when we had hand-checking and defensive basketball. Frankly, you guys would have the right to say that to today's players, only in that the offensive explosion, the stat inflation that we have seen over these last two or three seasons has been so enormous that I don't know if it matters as much that this team is not as sharp defensively as your Miami Heat team was, Chris, because, again, the game has changed once again. The rules and just sort of the way games are being called, the way are taking shots from three. So I'm curious to see how much that matters. We just don't know yet because we've never seen anything quite like this in this modern era of basketball. All right, I want to move on. Now, we've talked about your old team, Chris. We got to talk about Perk's old team, the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum entering the play-in without his running mate, Jaylen Brown, who is out for the year, of course, with that wrist injury. Chris, the Celtics host the hobbled Wizards themselves tonight in the play-in. Bradley Beal saying he's not 100%. So how much pressure is there on Jason Tatum tonight?
There's a lot of pressure on him. I mean, anytime you're playing for the Celtics, there's going to be pressure. Yeah. I'm sure Perk will allude to that in a little bit. But that's a championship organization, and anything short of a championship is a failure, especially when you're competing with all those, you know, banners in your arena watching you play. You know, I think not having his running mate is a definite blow. Jaylen Brown, definitely one of the best young talents in the league. But they're at that point where they need to start taking that next step. And for Tatum, you know, he has the ability to put that team on his back. But like I always allude to, it's a team game. And him not having his number two guy, him having to really probably put all of the scoring on his back tonight is going to be really tough. And I'm sure the Wizards are going to focus on him on defense and try their best to stop them. And, you know, with that said, with that beast named Russell Westbrook, you know, being able to just get a triple-double at will, and Bradley Beal, even though he's banged up, being able to get, you know, 25, 30, 35 points a night, I think it'll be too much for the Celtics. You know, there is like they're going down and the Wizards are going up right at the same time. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm sure Jason will play a phenomenal game, but it's going to be tough to beat him in the situation that they're in right now.
Well, look, I tell CB and Rachel, I tell you this, the Celtics better win this game today, right? Okay, because for one, Jason Tatum has the better personnel around him. Although Jaylen Brown is out, he still has Kemba Walker, right? A guy that is capable of going for 30. He still has Evan Fournier, a guy that averaged 20 this season. He still have Tristan Thompson, Robert Williams, Marcus Smart, right? When you look at the personnel of the Washington Wizards, although we all know that Russell Westbrook is so ferocious and relentless and he's never going to give up, Bradley Beal is hurt, and we saw that the last game. So I'm looking for Jason Tatum to elevate his game even more, right? Since Jaylen Brown has went out, and when I say that, I want to see Jason Tatum do what Luka Doncic did last year when Porzingis went out. That's the type of performance and type of play I want to see out of Jason Tatum.
I am so excited for this game tonight, the little sort of mini rivalry between these teams that have developed over the past 10 years or so. Again, not Celtics-Lakers, but it's fun. There's some just edginess there between these two teams. It's going to be so good. Also, the rest of the show is going to be so good because coming up, did you know that Chris Bosh was one of Vince Carter's rookies in Toronto? It's true. We not only have the video to prove it, we have the Vince to prove it. Yes, Vince Carter will join the show next and tell us some stories from the Six after the break, so keep it locked, friends. And welcome back to The Jump presented by Dell. We are now welcoming eight-time All-Star and one-time teammate to Chris Bosh on the show, Vince Carter. Love to see you here next to your guy.
Bosh.
Right? So he was a teenager in Toronto in 2003 when he came in. What was Chris like as a rookie?
Oh, where can I start with Mr. Christopher Gumby Bosh? Boy, I tell you, because we used to call him because, I mean, he was a thin man, but, you know, his willingness to learn, super talented, and, you know, he just wanted to win and play basketball. And, you know, I would tell a quick story.
Yes, please.
CB, I don't know if you remember our time. We played in Minnesota. And, you know, you were a fan of KG. And I remember us having a conversation in the locker room about how you should guard KG and go against him, because he's one of the guys, obviously, you admired and wanted to play well against. And it was all about having success. And you were one of those guys that always asked questions. You were one of those guys that believed in yourself. And we wanted to implement you immediately because we were playing good basketball. And, you know, you handled it like a pro. I think you played started 60-something games or 30-something, something like that. You started a lot of games as a rookie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you played with confidence and going on. I was traded, which ended up great battles between us in the playoffs to watch you grow into a two-time champion and now a Hall of Famer,
Hall
man.
Of Famer.
I'm happy for you. I'm thankful you deserve everything. Just to watch you grow and just seeing you in the beginning and how passionate you are about wins and losses. And, you know, we looked at you like, man, like he's carrying this over. Like, brother, you got 82 games, let it go. But you wanted to win.
Right.
And, I mean, he was, I mean, it used to bother him because, I mean, you step into this game as a winner, having success, 1 year of college, if I'm not mistaken, and go on to the NBA. You know, that's what you know is winning. And he wanted to win. And you like that about it. I like that about a guy like that who comes into the league and it's like, how can we win? And this guy had that from now, and he is a winner. And like I said, he deserves what he's getting. That's awesome.
Thanks, man. I mean, that's crazy. He remembers me. You saw me, you know, barefaced and short haired, you know.
A little country in your diction.
And about 30, a little more country in me, about 30, 40 pounds lighter. But I was definitely in a situation, you know, where, of course, playing with Vince Carter, I had to get over that pretty quickly and adjust to the NBA. I went from having you as a poster on my wall to you being right there in the flesh, getting on me and pushing me every day. And one of the things I loved about that situation, just coming in as the number four pick, everybody wanted me to come in and contribute right away. I knew it. I believed I could do it, but they showed confidence in me. I played a lot of minutes, fortunately, just to have that opportunity to come in the league and make a difference right away. And I'm telling you, there were some downs, but there were a lot of ups and a lot of just great lessons that I learned from that rookie season and being Vince's teammate and just seeing how hard you have to work and then how you can actually make a difference both in the community and in an organization with your play on the court. Vince set that tone, and when he got traded to from Toronto, I just wanted to kind of continue that and try my best coming behind Vince to just really keep good basketball going in that city.
By the way, did you
that
guys?
You did, my brother.
He certainly did. Did you guys hear that sentence? Vince, you went from a poster on my wall to one of the guys teaching me and pushing me. This is why he's one of the most eloquent guys in the game. And we are so thrilled, Chris, that you're going to be with us on and off throughout the playoffs here on The Jump. Another thing about the playoffs as they increase, not only will we at The Jump get more Chris Bosh time, which I'm very excited about, but several teams are going to increase their attendance capacity for the postseason. Knicks owner James Dolan telling The Athletic he hopes for 13,000 fans in MSG starting this weekend. Y'all have all played in the Garden. You know what a difference that will make. Right now, it'll take nearly $1,000 just to get a ticket in the building, Knicks fans. Nine teams, in fact, announced increasing their capacity to at least 7,000 fans for the playoffs, including the Jazz, aiming for 71% of their arena full. We expect more increases over the next several weeks. So the impact of fans returning to arenas this season, significant, not just in terms of environment and atmosphere, but the win column as well. We actually saw in games with more fans in attendance, home teams winning more than 58% of the time compared to less than 51% without fans. So, Perk, how important will having large crowds be in the playoffs, and is this going to be an actual competitive advantage for some teams?
Absolutely. It's very important, Rachel. And look, throughout your career, you have done a tremendous job of doing post-game interviews. And how many times have players came to you and said, the fans want us this game? Mm-hmm. And they're right, right? It's a reason that you fight for home court advantage, because you want a game seven in your arena with the fan support. Or when you go on the road, guess what? In the road team, they says, don't let the fans get involved. And you take a team like the Utah Jazz, right? It's so tough to play in that environment right now. They have established identity in Utah. I think they're right now, they're beating teams by double figures when you come to Utah. And that's the type of identity for his fan culture that you want. Rachel, Chris, Vince, we couldn't win in 2008. Mm-hmm. We couldn't win a road game to save our life in Atlanta or in Cleveland.
That's like, true. I remember that.
But we knew one thing. When we got you back to Boston, we was going to beat the brakes off of you, and we did just that because of the atmosphere.
I mean, it's a huge advantage, you know. It's a reason why they say home court advantage, right? And mm-hmm. it's a reason why you play a whole season to be able to have, like Perk was saying, that game seven on your home court if it comes down to it. The main thing that I think of, I remember Damian Lillard pretty much throwing his hands in the air a few weeks ago saying, hey,
yep.
where's our fans? You know, we need fans to mm-hmm. be able to be successful. They interject fans into the game. You see a better, different Portland team. And sometimes those fans give you that extra boost of energy that yep. you need, mm-hmm. especially in the playoffs. You know, going into Boston, going into New York, going into Philly, going into Utah. Those are one of the things that make them so difficult to play, because even if you're up by 20 points, if they score 2 points, you're going to feel like you're down. You're going to feel like you blow the whole thing. You blew the whole thing in less than 1 minute. It adds another element to the game that you have to beat and control as a team. So I look forward to be a huge advantage for those who have more fans inside of their building. And really, quite frankly, to see the Utah Jazz at 71% capacity, you know, I've never played a playoff game there, but I grew up watching Mike and the Bulls, and I tell you one thing, they had to really, really bring it to be able to beat those guys. They were, you know, their fans were known for being rowdy, known for being loud and making mm-hmm. a difference. So I think as the playoffs wear on, really, really look for those home crowd fans to have more of an effect for teams letting more in.
Yes, I think this is going to bring life to the playoffs. First and foremost, the opportunity to play at home is now an advantage. The bubble was successful. You know, teams, you know, you play and it worked out, but it's nothing like earning home court advantage all season long to now get to the playoffs and play your first game and now have that game seven, like you said, Perk, at home. And now you can rely on your crowd. Just imagine as a team going through on a 10-0 run in an important game like the play-in game, and your crowd now just amps up the level of intensity because of the noise. And now you go, that villain comes in or that player comes in playing. I call that game. You see this right here? I call that game. Courtside Karen. I call that game. And the wonderful thing about what LeBron said is, like, you know what? I embrace it. I enjoy having yep. fans back in the building going at me, because it's going to make me elevate my game just a little more as when you're on the road as well as the home team. So to have fans and you look in there, you can hear them chanting, let's go. Whoever it is, that's what it's all about, and that can elevate you in a playoff series.
Look, we just saw, right? That you just saw that video of AD and mm-hmm. Spike Lee. How much have we missed Spike Lee versus player interactions?
A lot.
And how much is that part of our memories of when we talk about, again, 90s basketball, right?
Right. I remember.
You can't have those clips without the fan interaction, Reggie and Spike and Michael and some of the fans, and it's absolutely true that we're getting that back, which is so great. I will say that the NBA and certain state governments have worked together and said that if more fans are vaccinated, they can have fully vaccinated sections of these arenas, and that will allow them to increase capacity. So you just heard three NBA players tell you guys out there that fans make a difference. Having full buildings make a difference. So support your team, go get vaccinated, and then come and yell and cheer to your heart's content. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. As I mentioned, we will see you soon on the show. I could not be more thrilled. Congratulations again on the Hall of Fame.
Congratulations, brother. Congratulations, man.
We are so excited for you. And coming up on this show, award season continues. Who will Vince and Perk pick as their Defensive Player of the Year? Hint, they do not agree. We will hash that out. It's time now for one of our favorite segments here on The Jump, Jump Ball. And this is, I'm saying this for the first time, play-in edition. Mm. Lines are set as of 3:45 Eastern, so let's go. Second play-in game tonight, Wizards-Celtics. Bradley Beal said his hamstring will not be fully healed ahead of tonight's game. Celtics are 2-point favorites. So, Vince, against the spread, that 2-point favorite, who you got, Wizards or Celtics?
I'm so torn right now, but I think the Celtics right now have been struggling. They're on the decline. Yes, they've survived. They made it to the A spot. And then you have the Wizards who are playing on the up and up. And Beal back. Yes, he's not 100%, but he's Bradley Beal, and he scored enough points. Right now, they took themselves from 10th, 11th spot to the 8th spot with, what, 2 games out of 7? Come mm-hmm. on, man. I'm telling you who I got. The Wizards.
Oh, well, look, I'm not – the game is too close, but I am going to throw some player props out there.
Okay.
Jason Tatum, 32 points over or under. I'm going with the over.
Okay.
Bradley Beal, 31 points over or under. I'm going with the under on that. So I'm going to stay away from the game and go with player props.
I would trust Perk.
Wizards.
Perk talks betting. There you go. Thanks for watching, guys. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll be back here
tomorrow. Westbrook Triple Double 2. We out.